This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Well, let's go over to another case that is still making headlines because, well, it's still out there in the ether. And one of the key reasons it's still out there in the ether is because a certain cell phone still hasn't been looked at. Nolan Wells' phone, the key piece of evidence that could settle the loudest claim in this case, that somebody wiped it, that something went on. And now we're, what, 8 weeks, 7 weeks after he died? No agency has examined it. The family says it's ready. The DA says she can't discuss it. And the phone has been sitting as of this morning, as of this recording. I don't know if it's gone anywhere yet, but hopefully it goes somewhere soon. Jen Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, with myself and Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. The hell? I mean,
it's a good one.
What the hell? I was kind of shocked. I was just trying to do an update on this case the other day. Like, oh, what's new? I haven't heard anything. And like, oh, the phone hasn't gone anywhere yet. Jen, I mean, from an investigative criminal standpoint, how the hell is that even a possibility this many weeks into this, unless it's not being looked at as a criminal investigation?
Well, they've got to look at the phone.
Yeah,
going on. This is kind of a no-brainer. It needs to be analyzed to make sure nothing has been erased. It needs to be looked at to see what communications took place. It also needs to be looked at to see the last time it was held, touched. Like, when did he check in? When did
Everything.
Everything needs to be looked at, and it's a no-brainer. It's going to have to be reviewed.
So, Jen, and we talked about this with Eric Faddis the other day, and now this is an area I would listen to a lot because you had a lot of reps in this area when it comes to data collection and investigative techniques like this. What do you think happens? So, even at this point, so they get the phone, and but the family's had it for so long. How can they use that or not use it? I mean, do you think it'll stand up under scrutiny by the defense or the prosecution? I mean, first of all, it's a really tainted piece of evidence to me. It's like leaving, to me, when you have a phone like that in the hands of the family for so long, it's as if you have the crime scene and you left the tape down. You let everyone traipse through it all the time because everyone has access to it.
I tell you, though, the beauty of digital evidence is if anything was done after the fact, it's going to have those timestamps.
Yeah, that's true.
And so from that standpoint, that's why your crime scene's kind of protected. It's sort of like if you have a crime scene like you just discussed and everybody's trampling through it, but I've got videotape all over the place showing who's trampling.
Good analogy, yeah. So
I really like the fact that it was always my favorite piece of evidence, always the one that at least I would ask the prosecutor, hey, listen, for our cool charts we're going to put up and everything, let's do it last, because the juries eat it up. And then in talking to juries afterwards, they will tell you, you know, digital evidence has no ambition. It has no, it's just.
It's there.
It just is.
Yeah. It just is.
It's so ones and zeros. It'll answer questions. Yeah. No matter what you want it to be. Okay. So I'm trying to wrap my mind around any other investigation where a critical piece of evidence just sits in the hands of the people who originally had it for all of this time. That's the part I'm having a hard time because I'm like, well, where's the incentive here to not have this thing examined? And I mean, it really could benefit both sides depending on what's on it. Is this both sides not wanting to open Pandora's box? Because on one side, you got the claims that Snapchat was deleted and this and that. And well, open up the phone. Let's find out. Let's get the info from Snapchat. Let's find out what that says. Was anything actually deleted? If it's no, well, then that whole people went in and messed with the phone theory is all bullshit. And then all the vitriol on top of that doesn't make any sense because it's based on nothing. Or we open the phone and it shows a lot of deleted shit. And it shows information that doesn't look so lovely. Then the whole, well, this is all an overreaction over there. That doesn't look good. Both sides really, you know, could stand to look pretty shitty on this, depending on what the phone reveals. One side is the law. One side has subpoena authority, has authority to go in and actually just take the damn evidence and look at it. Why haven't any of those levers been pulled? Why this is, I don't know. I'm kind of baffled by this whole thing of just How has this been sitting here for this long and that lever hasn't been pulled? I get the patience in the first week or two, maybe. We're going to do this together, so it's all the up and up. We certainly want transparency, but at some point, we're going to get to the answers here. We got to kind of look at the evidence.
Well, from the prosecution side, they want this phone. I think it's going to prove their point. Nothing was erased. There's nothing nefarious that went on. And I think they really want to get the phone analyzed. Remember, though, the parents came out and this side, Crump, he came out and they said, listen, we've got our own digital experts and they're going to look at it and what they need to do. So you've got that side of it. Who did they hire? Has the phone been looked at by them? It's kind of this nebulous. I'm not sure what the answer is. And then, of course, it's got to be given over. The government doesn't want to do a subpoena in this case, in my opinion, or a warrant, because they want the family to cooperate. They want to do what we call a consent search, where they sign it over. We'll see, though. I mean, I am surprised that it hasn't been reviewed by the government, but it will be.
You know, on the conjecture side, do we know if the families sent it out for private investigator to do it? Because that's my question is, so if the family then did hire someone and they have their own forensic people analyzing the phone, how's that work? You know, if you're going to use it then for prosecution, will the prosecution use the same people that did it? I mean, that's kind of weird to me.
Yeah. No matter what, the prosecution will use their people.
Right.
They're going to use whether they go with the FBI. The FBI is involved in this, and I think they're involved in this just for this reason.
Yeah.
So I think that they will go to an FBI expert that will.
So what happens to then? So say that the family comes up with different stuff on that phone, or they have a different theory or a different assessment of it. Will they include that, not include? Will defense include it? It looks like it looks really messy when you do stuff like this.
Yeah, you know, the experts can battle it out, but at the end of the day, like we just talked about,
right, it is what it is.
Objective evidence. There's zero subjectivity to it, unless you start making things up about a search that happened at 2:28 in the morning, like what happened in Reed's case. But typically speaking, you're going to have, you know, very competent experts, and they should agree, kind of like with the autopsy.
Right.
Remember how in the autopsy, they really kind of agreed?
Yeah.
We
don't have the state's, you know, results yet, and that's sitting there for the grand jury. I guess my question is, you know, there's talk that there's going to be a grand jury. Maybe there is a grand jury. I mean, that can take some time, obviously, and they want to present the phone evidence to the grand jury. Where is that at right now, Jen, in your opinion? Is there a grand jury that's been convened? We don't know for sure. It's all secretive. But at this point, what does your experience tell you?
Yeah, it's been convened and they're slowly processing and listening to all the evidence. I think one thing that can be confusing is that a grand jury sits there, say, for 8 or 12 hours straight, like trial, and listens to all of this. It's typically not how it works. Typically how it works is you will have one or two witnesses slated for a particular day, and that grand jury will hear from those one or two witnesses, and then that's it. And then the next week, they'll come in on their designated day, Wednesday from 10 to noon, whatever their time frame is, and they'll get two more witnesses. So the process is usually a lot longer than you might think, because it's not like trial.
You know, you've done a lot of these, and basically from the tempo that we're seeing or not seeing and all the behavior tells are seeing from the outside looking in, are you thinking this is going someplace yet, or you don't think it's going someplace, or it's still too early to tell?
Well, I'm judging this opinion, Robin, in large part based on the interviews I've seen of the kids,
right,
of the kids that were on the boat and what they say happened and everything in huge part of this, right?
Right.
And also all the factors we know. And Tony, you're right. We don't have the autopsy results back. But if you recall very early on, which upset a lot of people, he alluded to the fact that there's nothing to show foul play.
Right.
And that was based on that autopsy, because I've mentioned this, that right when you, as an investigator, you're in there with the ME, they already know you know, what's going on very early on, what the Emmy is going to set. So I think this is going to be an accident. I really do. But I think the grand jury will continue to look at it and probably come to that same conclusion.
How long do you think, what do you think they'll wait? I guess they'll just wait till the digital evidence does come in from the analysis, if they do eventually get it, and that'll be the final thing that'll close it out, do you think? If, or they'll, it'll be the final thing that kind of tips it over to do some sort of prosecution against someone, because then they have to identify who they think did something.
Well, I don't think the digital analysis will be as important in this case. I think it's going to be witness interviews. I think will be very important. You know, did somebody see, you know, a fight? Did somebody see anything that lends itself to the belief that, you know, his friends murdered him?
And do you think we'd have any wobbles in that area right now if there was some testimony that was going to lend to that? Because we haven't seen any, and there are a lot of people who are present for that. You would think that, you know, social media would have some sort of leakage coming on and off on that.
Yeah, I like the word wobble. We don't see any weebles wobbling, nothing. Yeah. It seems
very wobbles, yes.
On this case. So I just don't think it's there. But because of the infused racist, you know, undertones, they've just got to do it with the grand jury. In other words, look at it.
The Congressional Black Caucus asked the DOJ for a federal review. The NAACP joined the family's legal team, and Al Sharpton has said everything on the phone was erased. Again, a lot of conjecture, a lot of claims being made on evidence that hasn't really been looked at yet. The goal is getting to the truth here. If the family and the local authorities haven't figured their shit out enough yet to get this phone reviewed in a way that's acceptable to both parties, maybe there should be some sort of federal intervention here, since these two parties can't seem to figure this out yet. Not necessarily that needs to go to a level of a murder investigation, but like, guys, we got to take care of this. This we need to actually look at this. What does this look like? Is there anything that should be done or can be done? Or do we just rely on them to eventually get their shit together and take a look at this device?
Well, I'm going to call a spade here. Yeah. I mean, part of the reason that Sharpton and, you know, Crump and all these people keep ginning up all of this is because the money keeps pouring in.
It makes them money. I know. I agree.
Yeah. And the more you can throw out there, oh, now we need a federal investigation. You know, Crump is a licensed practitioner of law. He should know there is no chance that there's FBI venue here. And so it's the FBI is never, in my opinion, going to get involved. Shoot, they're not even involved other than peripherally and as a partner, not a lead on the Nancy Guthrie case. And that case, you could argue, has venue. You know, they're just, that's such puffery to me.
It's grandstanding, yeah.
Yeah.
It's grandstanding.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's nothing to, I mean, again, I get that there's that move by stating that is grandstanding, but at the same point, nothing is happening. So it's like, well, somebody's got to kick this down the road a little bit to get somewhere. But, you know, who's that going to be? I don't know the answer to yet, but still no real answers here in this case. We'll see where this goes. I mean, your best guess, Jen, I mean, how long till we determine if a grand jury comes back with a true bill or not here on if this goes anywhere?
Well, you know, if you look at the photos from the beach that day, there were hundreds of people there.
Yeah.
That means there are hundreds of people to interview.
True.
There's also a lot of video that could exist and photographs that could exist. There's the digital phone we just talked about that seemingly still hasn't been analyzed. It's going to be weeks, if not months.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just think how long it's taking to get through the ring cams in the neighborhood surrounding Nancy Guthrie. We're still hearing, oh, and by the way, there's thousands of more videos we haven't looked at. Oh, really? On a beach with hundreds or thousands of kids and then trying to decipher who's in what shot and all of the evidence that's been turned in from people not knowing what they have. That's a lot. That is a lot to get through. And it does take humans to do that. All right. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in and give us your thoughts there. That's going to wrap it up. All right. We all survived. Until next time.
Good day. It was yes. A good day.
Break the Case. Jennifer Coffin Daffer. Go check it out. YouTube, wherever you get podcasts. Robin Dreek's latest book, It Is This. It's Not All About Me. It's available wherever you get books and on Amazon. Leave a review there. Until next time, for Jen, for Robin, for Todd, I'm Tony. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too. Because where you get your information matters.